Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It is so good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When things start to go awry, and inevitably they do in a fallen world, we need to know how to get back to a centered position in Jesus Christ. And we don't do that as mere rugged individuals. We do that within the community of faith. So often people argue or debate modes or methods of baptism. But one of the sad realities in the modern church is we oftentimes induce people to be baptized through all kinds of manipulation tactics. But that wasn't what baptism was in the early Christian church. In the early Christian church, when people were baptized in a response to their reception of the gospel, they were taking on a death sentence. They were in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And to be baptized was to say, I am now visibly, tangibly identifying with Jesus Christ. Caesar is no longer Lord. Christ is Lord. And so they were willing to face all the indignities that one human being could foist upon the other. It was a sign and a seal that they had indeed been buried to an old life, raised to newness of life. And communion is very much like that. It is an expression of ecclesia. As we all partake of the same elements, we partake of Jesus Christ, through whom we are one. And I use the word ecclesia here because the word church has taken on a decidedly connotative meaning. Properly understood, the church is not an institution. It's a relational organism in which each member belongs to all the others, a glorious, organic, corporate expression of Jesus Christ. And as each member of the body serves its vital function within the whole, peace will invade our beings and we will finally realize what it means to be home. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone callers. First up is Kay, listening in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Someone told me that Christianity was descended from pagan religions, Mithras and some other ones that have had like 12 apostles and a son and a mother and a virgin birth. And my best answer that I could give was this all was sort of seen ahead of time in Genesis, like through the seed of the woman. And things like that, and even Isaiah talked about this sacrifice that was to come, because they were saying it was that was one of the accusations was that about Mithras and that stuff, and then that the Catholic Church was had come up with this whole idea of sacrifice, and I was like, no, that was way older than that, because Isaiah talked about it. But the religion thing, where that's the main thing I guess I wanted to ask about.
Yeah. Well, truthfully, the alleged similarities as well as the terminology that's used to communicate those similarities are greatly exaggerated. So parallels, for example, between the resurrection of Osiris and the resurrection of Christ are an obvious stretch. And for the mystery religions, that's about as good as it gets. The other thing is that mystery religions are syncretistic. in that adherents not only worshipped various pagan deities, but also frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions while continuing to worship within their own cultic constructs. But Christianity is far different from that, in that converts to Christ singularly place their faith in the one who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So in short, what you have with the mystery religions is they are looking at things through the opaque lens of their own paganism. So they do take many times ideas that have some sense of truth, but it's distorted through their own realities or through their own syncretistic constructs. But the other thing, and I think this is the basic thing, is that people are exaggerating the similarities between the mystery religions. And then oftentimes the mystery religions don't precede Christianity, they follow Christianity. So the people communicating this kind of mythology have the chronology all wrong.
Okay. Appreciate your broadcast. Thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Zachary next, listening in Arizona. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, Hank. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry. I listen quite often, but not often as I should. I'm a pretty young guy. I'm only 24.
Uh-huh.
But, I'm currently in a really difficult place in my life. I'm just really, really struggling with, my Christian morals, and I have, my main issue is with, sexual desires and stuff. Like, I have a problem with pornography, and I don't know really what I should do about it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have that same issue today, and I think that it's a first step to take to actually acknowledge that you have the problem and recognize it for what it is. It is a deep, dark, difficult problem to deal with, and therefore you don't want to try to deal with it alone. One of the things that I encourage Joe Dallas, who's been on the program many times, to do is to write a book on this very thing, and he came up with a book called The Game Plan, Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. And I think it is the absolute best thing on the market today in order to deal with the kind of thing that you're dealing with. And as I say on the back of the book, no one understands this subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblically user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity. It's a resource nobody should be without. So this is something that I highly recommend to you. And it's not a gimmick. It's not, 30 days, 5 days. You know, people have all kinds of 10 steps and 7 steps. This is the real deal.
Wow, that sounds great. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's called The Game Plan, the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. And it is available through our ministry if you want to hang on.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
Zachary,
it.
Before you go, let me pray. Father, I thank you for Zachary, for the deep hurt that he feels, for the fact that he wants healing. Lord, I pray that you would bring people and resources into his life so that he might gain victory and, Lord, ultimately be a testimony to your grace. Lord, we all struggle with besetting sins, and so let not one look down upon another, but as the body of Christ, when someone falls, may we be there to pick them up. And Lord, we pray that you would bless Zachary, that you would indeed give him victory in this circumstance. And we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Zachary, hang on. If you can't afford the book, I'd be happy to give you the book as my gift, but hang on, I want to put it in your hands.
Well, I appreciate it, Hank. That was beautiful, by the way. I think I really needed to hear that.
Well, I'm so glad you called me.
I'm glad that you were there, as a great resource for all struggling Christians nowadays. It's definitely a tough time for, those that try to keep the faith.
It is indeed, and the Lord will give you the strength. I mean, if you have the willingness, he will bring the resources into your life, and I think the game plan is a great place to start. Hang on, we'll put it in your hands.
I appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate your call. lot of people struggling, and Jesus is the answer. It's not a trite statement. When we talk about Jesus being the answer, we mean that we recognize that Jesus is the only one who has all the answers to the exigencies of life. And thus, all we need to be willing to do is say, I don't want anybody else's advice. I want the advice of the one who is God in human flesh, the one who created me, the one who knows every fiber of my being. And so, as those who are participants in the kingdom, we have the resources, the richness of His grace at our disposal. And He will never leave us or forsake us. Those who seek light, He will indeed give them light and ultimately give them victory so that they can be trophies to His goodness and to His grace. We'll be right back in just a moment with more answers.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More today to find out and experience for yourself the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Azzy listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question that I've been wrestling with this for a while now. It's about fasting. I've been told that the scripture in Matthew, well, it's really in Mark, I think, 9, where it really gives it in the ninth chapter of Mark about when the man brought his son to the disciples to heal him, and they couldn't heal him. And when the disciples got Jesus to himself, they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus had told them about, you know, their unbelief and all of that. And then he said, at the end, he said, these kind come by fasting and prayer. And I've been told that that means that we're supposed to fast and pray to, you know, cast out demons and such things. And I was reading over in Isaiah 58, where God was telling Isaiah to tell the people about fasting. And in the New Testament, I don't see where God has told the people to fast like he did in Isaiah. Can you give me some enlightening on the fasting?
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing that I have to tell you about this is the addition of the phrase and fasting is likely what's called a gloss or an addition, because it's not found in the best available manuscripts. So I think that the text is best rendered, this kind can come out only by prayer. But with respect to fasting, Jesus certainly emphasized fasting. I mean, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The purpose of fasting is God and not men. Fasting allows us to focus on spiritual things. It reminds us of our weakness and complete dependence on God. So we fast from food so that we can feast on God, as it were. And I think in that sense, you can understand why this addition would be made, this scribal addition would be made, because there was a huge emphasis on fasting in the early Christian church. And so it's not at all implausible that someone would add that to the text, because the entirety of the meaning is that we must have prayer of faith, and that prayer of faith is exemplified through fasting. That prayer of faith is not faith in our own faith or in our own efforts, but it is solely faith in the resources of our Heavenly Father. In that sense, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If it is faith in our own faith, it is credulity. If it is faith in God, it is well-placed faith, because God can do all things. But again, there is a emphasis on fasting in the life of Jesus Christ. So if we want to be Christ-like, we need to do the things that Jesus Christ did, and that would include fasting.
All right. That brings some light on it. But now when he was saying that these kind, it means the kind of demons that they was casting out, was trying to cast out.
Well, yes, but I think that this is a very difficult situation, and the disciples have to understand that for them to be enabled to do the work of the kingdom, they have to make use of the resources of the king. Jesus, in context, if you look just before this, has been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And remember that Jesus, in the incarnation, voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity. He didn't divest himself of a single attribute of deity, but he voluntarily veiled them. So he depended on the Father. The Father was his resource, and this is the lesson that Jesus Christ is giving to his disciples. I think ultimately it is not our job to try to figure out whether the malady is a sickness, whether it is the world, the flesh, or the devil, but it is our charge to depend not on our own might or our own power, but rather on power from above.
All right. That puts a lot of light on it.
Well, bless you. I appreciate your call.
Thank you much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim, who's listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just curious. I got a couple people I associate with, and seems like they both believe in the Bible, both go to church, and I don't believe in Jesus and all, but I'm not real well versed in the Bible, but I do know quite a bit about what it says. And one of them seems, you know, has a lot of questions about the Bible, and I feel like I can answer them pretty well. And the other one seems like he knows everything about the Bible, and you know, does somewhat listens and somewhat doesn't. But it's funny because, you know, the one, it doesn't line up with the Bible, so I try to go to the Bible to reference things. And it seems like they both listen, but then they just do completely the opposite of what they say they believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, do I keep pouring into them, or do I just kind of say, hey, you know what, go figure it out for yourself, or how do I deal with that situation?
Well, there's a sense in which Jesus addressed that when he said, do not give dogs what is sacred, do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they'll trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. But look, I mean, the bottom line is wisdom is the application of knowledge. And this is the very thing that Jesus drives home in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and then puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But, says Jesus, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow and beat against that house, and it falls with a great crash. Now, James uses irony to point the same thing out. He says, you know, if you hear without doing, or if you have understanding without application, that's not wise at all. It's kind of like a man who looks in a mirror, sees that his face is dirty, but then fails to wash it. So again, wisdom is the application of knowledge. And if people hear things, but they're not going to apply them, they're not wise. They are, in fact, foolish.
Okay. And then I had one other quick question.
Sure. Yeah.
One of the same persons that was asking me questions about the Bible all the time kind of told me that, like, I guess the person that teaches his Sunday school class is gone, and the person that backs him up is gone, so he is going to be teaching the class. And I said, have you prepared, you know, how much have you prepared for this? And I see him almost on a daily basis, and I see that he's not grounded in the Word exactly, you know. Says that he loves Jesus, but yet I don't see it, you know. You can tell by the fruits of their life, you know. And I kind of advised him. He said, well, you know, you might want to sit down for this whole week and read the chapter that he's going to go over and at least get an understanding of it, and kind of warned him about, you know, if you're going to be teaching to 25 people, you better make sure you have the right information to teach. What advice would you maybe have for me to give to him to make that a little more clear?
Well, I think your exhortation is wise. You know, the Bible's very clear about this. Let not many of you be teaching, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. So I don't think that any one of us should ever attain to the job of teaching in a cavalier fashion. There's a great responsibility. I find what I do to be daunting. on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because when I go out and speak, people will come up to me and I find out that they made a life decision based on a throwaway statement on my part. It wasn't even the main point for me. And so I realize every single day that I come into this studio and answer questions, there's a huge responsibility, and that I'll be held accountable for what I say and do. So when I'm done doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm typically drained for that very reason. I feel the weight of that responsibility, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't think anybody else should either.
Held doubly accountable, right?
Absolutely. And so I think your exhortation to your friend is exactly what he needed to hear, and that's what friends do. They tell people not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate your time.
You got to appreciate your question. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our contact information as we sign off on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.